I have been the subject of abuse and slander scarcely ever equaled in political history, which today I feel that I can afford to disregard in view of your verdict, which I gratefully accept as my vindication.
Mr. President, starring Edward Arnold. Mr. President, the man in the White House, the man chosen by his fellow citizens as our first citizen, we invite you now to become better acquainted with one of America's greatest men. These are transcribed stories of the men who've lived in the White House. Dramatic, exciting, but little-known events in their lives that you and I so rarely hear. True human stories of Mr. President. Our Mr. President drama will begin in just a moment.
Too many of us think of history as a boring collection of dull names, dates, and places. We forget that historical figures were once living, breathing human beings, possessed of the same driving emotions that dominate our own times. It's the loss of these humanizing qualities that makes so many history texts mere listings of dry statistics. In the preparation of the Mr. President scripts, on the other hand, every effort is made to bring you not only carefully checked facts, but the color and atmosphere of the times in which each episode takes place. If, after hearing tonight's story, you have the feeling that you've been transported back through time for an actual visit to the period and place in which it occurred, these efforts will have succeeded. Now for tonight's drama starring Edward Arnold. See if you can name the president upon whom this episode is based.
When a man who never sought office has been elected to the presidency, not once but twice, and yet has been subjected to some of the most notorious vilification in history, he finds himself looking for signposts, indications by which he can gauge his own approach to the situation in which he finds himself. In my experience, I found that one turns within oneself and one's immediate family, realizing that life will go on, that in the end, one must live with one's own self and his responsibility to God. But this is all in the way of conclusion and does not belong really at the opening of a story. This story opens in a far different mood. On the evening, my good friend, Bill Belknap, my Secretary of War, had joined my wife and my son and myself at an intimate and personal dinner. Bill had brought us some news, good news, as a matter of fact.
I can't say how happy I am for you, General Belknap. No man should spend his years alone, if he can possibly help it.
I came to you, ma'am, and you, Mr. President, because I knew you'd understand.
Well, what are friends for, Bill? We've all been friends for many a long year.
My one worry is this. Am I doing this too soon? After all, Lucy's sister, my beloved Carrie, has passed on barely a year.
I think you're looking for shadows, Bill. After all, Lucy is Carrie's sister. It's not as if you had simply met a woman and decided to marry out of hand. Lucy was part of your household for many years. What do you think, Julia?
Oh, you're quite right, dear. A stranger might create something of a social scandal, but Lucy's sweetness and beauty won Washington long ago. Marry her, General, by all means.
Thank you. Thank you both. Oh, there's one other member of our assemblage I'd like to hear from before I take my leave. Jesse?
Me, General?
Why not? You're the younger generation in the White House, President's son. What do people of your age think of this sort of thing?
Thank you for your confidence, sir. I'm certain I go along with my father and mother.
There you are, Bill. Even the younger generation, whom I sometimes suspect are a trifle more straight-laced than their elders.
If you will all forgive me and accept my deep appreciation once again.
Of course, Bill, of course.
And next time you come to dinner, General, I'll expect you to favor us with your fiancée as well.
With a great deal of pleasure, ma'am. It's been a most wonderful evening. Thank you, all of you. Again.
Well, Father, seems that you old soldiers don't believe in wasting a moment of your lives, huh?
Now, this is no joking matter, Jesse. The general saw nothing ahead of him but loneliness, and if a beautiful woman like Lucy looks on him with favor, can you blame him?
I can't. How about you, Father?
I see nothing wrong in it at all, and Bill Belknap, honest and faithful worker that he is, deserves his happiness.
I gather he'll receive more than happiness, dear. The story is that Lucy inherited a good deal of money from her first husband. At least she's always seemed quite well off.
Then it's even better than I thought. How many general officers can look forward to a well-provided retirement these days? Not many. Again, I say, whether as my colleague in the field or as my Secretary of War, Bill has been an honest and faithful worker. He deserves any blessing the future may have in store for him.
Lucy, my dear.
William, you look pleased. Was it a good dinner?
The best. Absolutely the best. And both the president and his wife approve our plans. Also his son.
I'm so happy for you, William. So happy.
You look happy. Positively radiant, I'd say.
That's the way I feel.
You don't mind, my sweet, if I wish I were 15 years younger?
I certainly do mind. I love you the way you are.
Gray hairs and all.
Honorable gray hairs earned in the service of our country. Oh, William, there are times I'm so proud I could burst.
Well, don't do that now. At least not until you've become Madam Secretary of War.
Is that what they'll call me?
Well, that's what I shall call you.
I see. Then I have to plan my work, don't I?
Well, I try to. Half a battle is good staff work, you know.
Well, then, I shall have to look into the matter of Indian trading posts at once.
Oh?
We've got to be sure, you see, that the right men have those concessions. No fire water to the poor Indians.
Well, in that case, you're marrying the wrong man. The Secretary of the Interior handles all that.
I see. Very well, then either we can use our influence, or the engagement is off.
Oh, influence, heaven forbid.
Oh, Bill. Bill, it's so wonderful to be able to have fun like this, to laugh with you. You have a wonderful laugh.
Well, Julia, it's quite a social event, wasn't it?
Weddings always are.
So now it's Lucy Belknap.
You sound almost as if you disapproved.
I don't really.
But you have reservations?
Weddings upset me, I suppose.
Yes, I see. We had a brilliant social success, too, didn't we? With Nellie, that is.
Exactly. And if ever there was a lovely young bride, it was our daughter.
I wish you'd talk to Algernon.
It's no use.
Well, how do you know?
I tried. He's quite civilized about it all in his very British way, but they've fallen out of love, and that's that.
3 years. Only 3 years.
Sir Taurus isn't a bad chap, but, well, how can one tell, my dear? Everything seemed in favor of Nell's marriage. It just hasn't worked. Everything seems against Bill and Lucy. Age differences, points of view, everything. And the chances are it will work.
There's another marriage that seems to be doing rather well.
Is there? You mean Jesse's?
No, I mean ours.
Oh. Anything else would be unthinkable, but then we know the wisdom of adversity, Julia, my dear.
Must there be hard times to make for happiness?
I don't know. But we had our unhappinesses too, Julia. Before the war, even during the war, even during these years in the White House, where I, for one, never expected to land.
I seem to remember your grandfather had other ideas.
You show me a grandfather who doesn't believe his grandson will be president one day. Even me.
All right, dear, have it your way. But your grandfather was reputed to have had the gift of prophecy. Don't forget that.
It's easy to be adjudged a prophet after the facts you prophesied have come true. But I wish I had a little of his gift. If he had it. I'd like to know, for instance, exactly what Congress will be doing to the present administration day after tomorrow.
So would I. But tell me, dear, do you think Bill and Lucy are worrying about Congress tonight?
I doubt it.
All right, then suppose you stop worrying, too. Just remember, my dear, in not too many months we'll be gone from here. Another family will take our place. And then you and I are going off on a long-delayed honeymoon ourselves. So now smile, Mr. President. You've just come from the gayest social event of the season in Washington, and you've just seen the prettiest bride in town.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Belknap.
It's good to see you, Mr. Marsh.
You're looking very well.
I am well, sir. Thank you.
You sent for me, ma'am?
Yes, I think I have some news for you.
On our little idea?
Precisely.
Favorable, I trust.
I'm told that this John Evans would like to keep his job.
Fort Sill is a very lucrative post, Mrs. Belknap, as we know.
I gather it's going to be even more lucrative now that the men stationed there are permitted to have their families with them.
No doubt.
Word seems to have reached Mr. Evans that you are about to be appointed post-trader, Mr. Marsh, immediately following Mr. Evans' removal.
I'm not surprised.
In fact, Mr. Evans has learned that my husband, through the War Department, will have a lot to say about the situation.
And Evans believes this?
He must believe it. He knows that the Department of the Interior is his boss, but he fears Washington politics.
And no doubt you have a suggestion in mind, ma'am.
I might have.
I'd be delighted to hear it.
Suppose Mr. Evans should learn that he might keep his position at Fort Sill under certain conditions.
And the conditions?
Perhaps a small fee payable to the man who threatens his job, who is using pressure to get it.
How small a fee?
Say $1,000 a month.
A nice even sum.
Half of which might be retained, of course.
And the other half?
Might be paid in cash to the go-between in the matter.
Meaning, of course, the wife of the Secretary of War.
Is it necessary to be quite so direct, Mr. Marsh?
Perhaps not. Still, business is business, I always say.
Yes. And do you know what I always say, Mr. Marsh?
No, ma'am.
I say several things. First, the laborer is worthy of his or her hire. Second, when there's plenty of money to go round, why shouldn't everyone share? And third, Mr. Marsh, what some people, particularly cabinet members, don't know, won't hurt them. Do you follow me, Mr. Marsh?
Yes, ma'am. I believe I do.
Yes, I thought you would. If we're agreed then, Mr. Marsh, shall a handshake consummate the agreement?
Sorry to bother you, Father.
What is it, Jesse? Something you need me on?
Well, I thought you ought to know about this at once. There are various and sundry rumblings up on the hill.
Aren't there always, boy?
I don't like the looks of this. Not at all.
Oh, come on, son. Let's hear it.
Well, seems that Congress has heard that various Army trading posts have been put up for sale, to be blunt about it.
What?
Yes, sir.
Oh, I don't believe a word of it. Zachariah Chandler would horsewhip anyone in his department who tried such a thing. And the whole Interior Department knows this.
Not Interior. Congress is instructing the Expenditures Committee to open an investigation of the War Department.
Bill Belknap? Why, that's ridiculous.
They're going ahead with it. That's all I know.
Oh, they'll waste their time, I promise you.
I know you're right, sir. Nevertheless, a subpoena is on its way to a man named Evans, the post trader at Fort Sill. They mean to put him on the grill, Father.
I see. Well, we'll have to await developments, son.
And if General Belknap...
No guessing, my boy. We'll wait for the facts. And when we know them, we shall act as the facts and our own conscience dictate. More than that cannot be asked of any man. Have you figured out yet who was the president when all this happened? It really did, you know. And the only mitigating factor at the time was the fact that I'd been through similar situations earlier in my incumbency. Still, to have a shadow cast on the reputation of my good friend, a man I'd fought alongside, a man for whom I had the highest respect, was far from pleasant. I called in the chairman of the Congressional Committee in charge of the investigation. He gave me as much of the truth as he knew up to that time. And the direct result was that I sent Jesse over to the War Department to ask the Secretary of War to visit my office. Bill Belknap walked in and obviously knew nothing about what it was all about.
Good to see you, Mr. President.
Sit down, Bill. You can stay, Jesse.
Very well, sir.
Well, you sound ominous. Something gone wrong?
Well, I'm not sure yet. I'm afraid to think so.
Please go ahead, Mr. President.
What do you know offhand about the trading post at Fort Sill?
Very little, except that the commanding officer out there reports it's well run. Men are quite satisfied with it.
Have you ever heard of a man named Evans?
No, I haven't.
He's a trader there.
Oh, that's in Chandler's bailiwick, not mine.
I know. One more question, Bill. Does the name Caleb Marsh mean anything to you?
No, I don't think so. Oh, wait, yes. I believe he handled some of Lucy's investments up in New York. I seem to remember having received a check from him while Lucy was out of town. I endorsed it and deposited it in her account.
And you see no association between these two men and the trading post at Fort Sill?
None whatsoever. Well, how could there be? Evans is in Oklahoma and Marsh is in New York.
Mm-hmm. I see. All right, Bill. I take your word, naturally.
What haven't you told me, Mr. President?
You know, don't you, that Congress is starting an investigation of the trading post situation?
Yes, of course. Everyone in Washington knows. Look here, Mr. President. You're not implying...
I imply nothing, Bill. Not least of all, anything against your personal integrity. But Congressman Clymer has been here. He heads the investigation. And there seems to be a relationship of some kind between Evans and Marsh. What it'll turn out to be, if anything, no one knows. But Evans is on his way to Washington. And forewarned is forearmed, Bill. That's all I can tell you now. That's all I know.
Did you want me, William, dear?
Yes, Lucy. You're looking very lovely tonight.
It's a new dress. Like it?
Very pretty. Expensive, too, I'll bet.
My own money, dear.
Yes, of course. In fact, sweetheart, that's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Am I spending too much? I really bought this dress for Europe. Oh, think of it, darling. 2 weeks and I'll be in Paris.
Lucy, who is Caleb Marsh? I received a check for you from him a few weeks ago. I put it in your account.
I know. I said thank you. Remember, Bill?
What kind of business do you do with this Marsh, Lucy?
Oh, investments. Stocks, bonds, you know.
No, I don't know. And I think I'd better know right away.
William, you've never spoken to me like this.
The president called me in today. There's a lot of trouble over the trading post at Fort Sill. A man named Evans.
I can't possibly see what this has to do with...
Evans and Marsh are mixed up in this together, it seems. And if you have been receiving income from anything these two have been doing together... Lucy... Don't you see what this would do to me? Even to the president.
If you think, William, that I'm involved in something shady, perhaps you'd better not meet me in Paris after all.
Perhaps you'd better not go until this thing is cleared up.
William Belknap, stop behaving like a stupid old fuss budget. Well, I'm going to Europe in 2 weeks, and I'd like to see anyone in Washington try to stop me.
You've hardly touched the roast, dear.
No, I'm sorry, Julia. I'm not very hungry.
We've been through these things before, Father.
I know.
After all, it's not as if the world were ending just because Nellie's left Algernon. She'll be home with us soon. England will lose her and we'll have her back with the children.
It's not Nellie who's on my mind. Nellie is probably perfectly justified in leaving Algernon. And I, for one, will give her the proper welcome.
It is the Fort Sill business, then, huh, Father?
It's ironic in its way. Nellie's ship headed west will probably pass another ship heading east and taking with it a deserter. I hate deserters, as you know, Julia.
Are you speaking of Lucy Belknap, dear?
I am.
But she's planned her trip for months.
Is that an excuse for walking out on your husband when he's in trouble? Trouble that looks more and more like your own making?
No.
Father, I didn't know that.
Clymer was in to see me again today. They've dug up a check with Bill's endorsement, a check that goes back to this Caleb Marsh. It looks like his relationship with Evans at Fort Sill is anything but innocent.
But Bill Belknap told us about that check.
And I'm certain Bill is perfectly in the clear. Still, that won't help when Congress begins to talk impeachment.
Why, you can't allow that, dear. That would ruin a perfectly honest man.
I have nothing to say about it.
You're the president.
Yes, and an impeaching Bill, they'll be getting at me, of course. But the fact remains that the House impeaches, the Senate is the jury, and the Chief Justice presides. The President has nothing to do with that process.
What are you going to do about it?
I don't know yet. The facts aren't all in. When they are, I'll act, and quickly. You can depend on that, Julia, without a doubt.
What does Bill say, Father?
He's saying nothing. I'm afraid his choice is going to be the toughest any man can face, between his own good name and his wife's. About all we can do for him at this point is remember him in our prayers.
Come in, Mr. Evans. Sit down.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
I understand you asked to see me.
I did, sir.
What for? The Interior Department handles all trading posts.
Surely you realize what for, sir.
I know you're under investigation, that's all.
Mr. Secretary, you are in this with me, and you know it.
See here, Evans. I don't know what you're implying, and I have no reason to accept your insults.
Mr. Secretary, has somebody been pulling the proverbial wool over your eyes?
If you have anything further to say, say it quickly, sir.
I will. The facts are devilishly simple. I was told here in Washington by your wife that she would use her influence with you to block Caleb Marsh's application for my trading post if I paid Marsh $1,000 a month, of which you would receive half through the use of her name and accounts.
You make it sound wickedly simple, Mr. Evans.
It's mostly wicked now, sir. I have to go before a congressional committee tomorrow morning and report on my activities at Fort Sill.
Impeachment will be the very least.
Was that you said, sir?
See here. If you've administered that trading post fairly and properly, go and tell the truth. That's all.
And if I tell the truth, what will happen to you?
To me?
Yes, to you. Marsh paid over some of that money to you. He has a canceled check with your endorsement. Unless Congress has that already.
I see.
All right, Bill. So now you know.
Once Evans testifies, they'll recommend impeachment at once. And with some justification.
With none whatsoever.
No, Mr. President. A man can be expected to know what his wife is up to. Even though she may be much too young and beautiful for such as he.
I agree with your forecast of Congress action, Bill. And now I have a suggestion.
Do you have a way for me to get back my self-respect or my respect for Lucy?
Your self-respect you need never lose, Bill. As for the other, well, time will tell about that. No, Bill. I want you to offer me your resignation at once so I can accept it.
Absolutely impossible, Mr. President. Why, such an act could ruin you politically.
Bill, in a short while, I shall leave office. I want to feel that I have done right while I've been here.
I will not permit you to sacrifice yourself for me.
General Belknap.
Yes, sir.
I was your senior officer. I am your commander-in-chief. I demand and shall immediately accept your resignation. Well, you've probably figured out by now who the president was when all that happened. It really did happen, you know, and you'll have the answer in just a moment.
Then you have accepted his resignation, dear.
I wrote out the acceptance in my own hand and signed it.
It's too bad. He's a fine man.
And a good soldier.
It's almost too fantastic for belief, Father. But what does it prove? that men in government can't take anyone on trust, not even their own wives?
I don't know. Perhaps that honesty must be tempered by wisdom. Or that a blank check cannot be endorsed by the heart alone.
Will they go ahead with the impeachment proceedings?
Well, the resignation makes impeachment rather a moot proceeding, I'd say.
My dear, we shall be leaving this White House in a few months. With you, you'll take your self-respect. And that's as important, if not more so, than knowing, as I hope you do, that your wife and family are always proud to call their husband and father President of the United States, Ulysses S. Grant.
Be with us again next week, won't you, for another interesting story that happened in Washington a few years ago to Mr. President. Until then, goodbye.
Mr. President, produced and directed by Ted Toll, was created by Robert G. Jennings and written by Ira Merriam. Heard in the cast were Virginia Gregg as Julia Grant, Evelyn Scott as Lucy Belknap, Lou Krugman as Belknap, Paul Fries as Jesse Grant, and your narrator, Vic Perrin, as Caleb Marsh. Our story was based on incidents in the life of President Ulysses S. Grant.